What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 115, number 115. All right, so today my guest is, it was such a fun conversation. We got to talk about, he is somebody who has literally helped impact and change hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives, both through his business and through what his business provides. He's been able to do that right alongside his wife. We get to talk about all the fun stuff. Building a business, having a lifestyle in mind when you're building that business, building a business with your spouse and the different dynamics. Then you throw a couple kids in there. Basically, just kind of a little bit of everything. I feel like we got to cover a little bit for everyone. So I know that you're absolutely going to love it. Also, make sure to, we're getting close to Christmas now. As we're getting close to Christmas, we all have those people, you know, sometimes that it's like, I have no idea what to get for them. They already have everything. Well, you know what most people don't have? Amazing beef that was raised in the mountains of Idaho. Most people never had that. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what to get Aunt Susan, who already has everything, or Uncle Jim, who, you know, he's already got anything you could ever want, and he's getting tired of getting socks or whatever, make sure you can go on, you can purchase a gift certificate. So you could actually go on, go to crossoldmeats.com, get a gift certificate, and then they can come on and buy whatever they want. Or you could just go ahead and buy them a box of meat. You can have it shipped directly to them. So either way, again, for Christmas, what better thing to do than to get some awesome meat? All right. The other thing is too, again, I'm going to keep telling you this, but I know everybody drinks coffee, right? Like literally it's illegal to not drink coffee. So if you're going to do it, you might as well do it from Black Rifle Coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Make sure again, use the promo code Primal King. Make sure again, when you go there, they're at the checkout, you're going to see a little thing that says promo code, put in Primal King, save yourself 20% off. Again, we're already going to be drinking the coffee. You might as well save a little bit of money. Make sure it's awesome American made, business like Black Rifle Coffee. And then you can have your caffeine, you can have your meat, life is good, everyone's happy. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. Super excited for my guest today, and I know you all will love him. This is someone who has been an entrepreneur since the age of 17. He, along with his wife, Kaylin, are founders of the massively successful business Lady Boss that has changed the lives of hundreds of thousands of women through weight loss, digital training programs, supplements, and lifestyle changes. With his drive, determination, and work ethic, he's been able to help Lady Boss generate over $60 million by the ripe old age of 25 and has continued that insane growth to this day. On top of all of his business accomplishments, he's been faithfully married to his business partner, Kaylin. They've started a wonderful family and stayed committed to their faith through the process, which has made him unstoppable. I'd like to welcome Brandon Poulin. Again, Brandon, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here. Where did you read that, by the way?
Off did your you find site.
That? Oh, man. I need to update that.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, it's good. I'm like, I think we've done three times that so far in revenue. And I was like, no, I've rewritten it. I need to go back and update that.
That was just by 25, hilarious. Man. That was just by 25.
Me with my pants down.
That's awesome. So I wanted to start just because I know that it talked about being an entrepreneur at a young age. Were you raised in a family of entrepreneurship? Was it like, how did you come about, I guess, kind of getting into that space?
Yeah, it's funny because I literally can remember being like, I don't know, five or something. I was a young kid, like one of my earliest memories. And I was like in the backseat of my mom's car and we were going through a McDonald's drive-thru, right? The healthiest thing ever. And I remember looking at prices and food and thinking in my head, like, so, you know, they sell us food. We give them money. There's this transaction, but like they have to like get the food. Economics was like always kind of on my head for some reason. It was just like, it was just in me. And from that regard, but really, I think without a doubt, it was my dad who had the most entrepreneurial influence on me. He was always a salesperson. He's owned several businesses and many of them successful. But he's like, at his core, he's a salesman. And so I think just being around him and just seeing, like, I remember one time he was getting a new job and he was like listening to these tapes, you know, and like just watching that made such an impression on me when I was super young. So entrepreneurialism, if you will, if that's a word, is definitely in my blood and in my family. My uncle's got a successful remodeling company. My some other extended family. My grandfather opened up the first judo club in the state of New Mexico after training in Japan. So like, I think I've just been around it, and it's kind of in my blood, so to speak. But you know, you think back to like what really probably triggered it. Besides, you know, wanting to get a motorcycle when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, that's all I wanted was a motorcycle. And I just was calculating how much time it would take me to work. And it's going to take way too long at a job. So besides that, I'd say probably my dad would have the most.
What was the first business then? What did you first start off with? I mean, I know a lot of people start with like network marketing or something like that. Was that like similar for you?
So like the very first thing, man, I was like, just like searching online, trying to like, so this is so stupid. I don't even know if I ever told anyone this, but I literally signed up when I was like, I don't know, 14 or 15 for some fake site where like, you just like entered all your information on all of these lead gen sites and they would pay you, but it wasn't real. So I like went around entering my email as like a 13-year-old kid on all these websites. So like I could get 10 cents or whatever. And like, it was fake. And it was like, it's hilarious. So that was the first failed one. And then I think I signed up for some ridiculous straight, like I love MLM. I have roots in MLM, but a legit pyramid scheme online, like borrowed $250 from my mom. And she always believed in me. She's like, here you go. Like, should never have given it to me. And it was a legit fake pyramid scheme online. So after a couple of those things, I stumbled my way into auto glass, actually. So I fixed windshields. So I had a buddy who was doing it in another state, came, showed me, hooked up with billing insurance companies. I was like 16 years old. I hired my friends and I walked into gas stations and I recruited basically a site. So I told the gas station attendant I'd pay them per day to be there, and I'd wash their customers' windshields and sell them windshield repair. So that was the dawn. And then from there, it transitioned to network marketing. And I got into a health network marketing company and I learned so much. Sold over $10 million worth of product across that whole span. I met my wife through that company. And then I think that really set the stage for Lady Boss. The overnight stage of Lady Boss's success, that was set in 7 years of stumbling. So
yeah. The 7 year overnight success, right?
That's right.
That's great. So with Lady Boss, because I think one of the things that I've noticed with people who want to listen on is maybe they have an idea for a business. And I think a lot of us have ideas for businesses, right? But it's more about like, what do you actually do? So when you and Kaylin started talking about maybe starting a business, like how did that conversation go, or what was kind of the process you went through?
I remember vividly, we were at a Planet Fitness. it's like the worst place for like people who like to lift weights to go, but we were at a Planet Fitness and we were walking on the treadmills and we really were experiencing a huge downturn in our network marketing business. So at that time we were together, we met each other through that company. We're both really, I mean, by the world's term successful, we were both, you know, me being like 20 and we were making six figures together, multiple six figures. And then it kind of tanked, right? It really like crashed, right? Like the momentum of the business, there were some systemic issues there. And so we were walking on the treadmill together, just like, okay, what do we want to do? Because we can't do this anymore, right? And the way MLM kind of works is, you know, if someone signs you up and you leave and you bring your people with you, you kind of take from their income, right? It reduces it. And so my parents had signed me up, right? And her parents were integrated in her group. And so it gets messy. And so we're like, we're not just going to go to another MLM and take all our people there. We're just going to start our own business. And so that's kind of where Lady Boss was born, right? And so it was like, well, how do we want to have a different lifestyle, right? Than traveling 24/7 and being on the phone 12 hours a day, right? That was a factor, right? So when you're thinking about what you want to do, or if you're in that early stage of your business, like you need to think about your lifestyle as well, because if you end up with this great business, but your life sucks, you're going to hate it, right? And then you're going to be deep. You're going to be trenched into it. And you're going to have commitments and responsibilities that you have to unwind, which is not going to be fun, right? So So that was big. And then really it was like, we had been in health and fitness and weight loss, for 6 years in that company, helping people. We sat, in the women who are now Lady Boss customers, Kaylin and I sat in those living rooms and did home parties selling supplements in a health program face to face with them. Like I was in hundreds of living rooms. I was face to face with hundreds of customers, you know, probably thousands of customers, that, so we just knew them really well. And so we took that, that health, that concept, and we just like, how can we really help people? How can we have the biggest impact? How can we do it with lifestyle? And so, so the digital marketing aspect really married basically that, that passion for fitness, weight loss, and helping women, and marrying that up with digital marketing and having our own business at that point. Right. That's, so that's kind of how it was birthed, if you will.
Wow. So were you guys married at that point?
When we first started, no, it was the next year after that we got married.
So how is it like, was that a conversation like, hey, we're going to start this. And I'm sure you, maybe you knew, maybe you didn't like how big this actually would become, but like, was that a conversation? Like, so, you know, we're pretty serious here, but we're going to start this. like, I mean, are those conversations that people should be having when they're starting a business with a spouse or a significant
100%. They should absolutely be having those. It's, I haven't thought about that in a while. I would say, well, we had a joint bank account actually before. So we got engaged. So we were engaged at that point. So at least there was a, you know, I don't
some
know.
These, commitment, it, right?
There was yeah, there was a verbal commitment, right? Like, you know, which is, you know, these days, I don't know what that's worth, but people, I have friends that are like, oh, we're engaged. I'm like, when's the date? When are we doing it? Let's go. Are you really? You know, but no, I'm a huge believer in having that alignment, especially with business partners and your spouse. I mean, there's so much, like every single week we sit down, we go through basically an agenda of an alignment, you know, with the two of us. But man, thinking back to that point, you know, we were together, we were engaged. We had this conversation like, okay, you know, we need to just merge our stuff together, right? Like we're in this, I think that was really the point that set it up. We were already prior to being engaged, working on each other's businesses, and it just kind of started to blend, you know? And, you know, it's funny. I actually had a conversation. I had a conversation with my dad, and he was like, well, is this real? Like, if this is real, like, you know, you're spending your time and you're building her company and she's building yours. And like, so if this is real, then go for it, put a ring on it, do it. You know what I mean? And so that prompted. And so I always encourage people, you know, like God can't bless your relationship. You know, none that he can't, but ultimately, when you get married and you have that connection, that union, that foundation to build a life, I mean, not just business, but in general, like he can't really bless it until you make that commitment. And it's mutual, right, between you and her. And so, you know, I've had a couple I can think of really good friends that, that I, you know, encouraged to get married, and whether they did it because I encouraged them or not, whatever, but after they did, seeing what happened in their life and their business, especially with couples that work together, is incredible, right? It's like, you can't build a great house on a sandy foundation. And so like, it's like business partners who don't have their agreement inked, right? It's like, that's like a recipe for disaster, right? Like you need to sort those commitments out, those expectations out beforehand. And so I believe in building, you know, houses on concrete, solid foundation. Right. And so marriage happens probably to be the most important one, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. So I had Jess, my wife, on a couple of weeks ago, and we're actually talking about this because we're building our business together as well. And I feel like, you know, I've maybe seen or witnessed some people that are like, hey, let's build this business together, honey, or whatever. It's going to fix all of our problems. And it's like, I don't think you want to do that. It's kind of like, hey, we're about to get divorced, so let's have a kid. That'll make it better. Right. And it's like, no, you probably want to have a good foundation before you start a business with your spouse. So I could kind of see the logic behind, like maybe your dad asking like, hey, is this serious? Is this real? Cause if so, and then hell, you know, let's do it.
Totally. Yeah. 100%.
So then as you guys started getting started, was it, I mean, did it take off? Was it hard? Like, how did it kind of go, like, in the beginning stages of starting the business? Once you're like, okay, we're doing it, we're getting started. Like, what did kind of the growth look like, I guess?
Yeah. Well, from day zero, basically, when we decided that day on this treadmills walking, we were going to start Lady Boss. We didn't know it was called something different then. But it's same concept, same company. But really, we had our backs against the wall. I mean, our income had dropped from network marketing. When we launched our first product, it was a digital, it's called the Pocket Personal Trainer. We launched basically health and meal plans and workout plans. When we launched that, it took us about 3 months from making the decision to launch. And that was 3 months of being behind on rent, behind on car payments, not having income, and just 100% committing all of our time to build this thing. So that's kind of my style. It's not for everyone. I think a lot of people, but we didn't have any life commitments, right? Besides just those bills that we had. We didn't have kids. We didn't have big debt. We just had, like, you know, these leases and things like that we had to pay. But so I think you can go that way. I think probably most people go the way of building it in the after hours, right? Like starting it, like if you have a job and you want to work your way out of it, I think that's a healthy way to do it too. But ultimately we just kind of sent it and went for it, right? It was like, it was do or die. And I do best when I'm in that situation. As much as I hate it, when my back is against a wall, I'm motivated away from. So you ever heard, like, you're either motivated towards what you want or away from what you don't want. Mm-hmm. I'm motivated away from what I don't want. Even here now, later, $175 million revenue, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm still motivated away from, like, oh my gosh, if I don't get up and make this happen, like, I'm going to go back to, like, having nothing. Right. Like, it's crazy. Like, that's how my brain works. But, so at that point it was an absolute commitment for 90 days. And when so yeah, you asked the question, was it hard? Hell yeah. It still is hard. It's all hard. You know, building a company is literally, I always say, is the hardest, but most exciting and rewarding thing that you can do, right? Like, it's everything else when you're in the momentum of building a business starts to feel really boring and unstimulating, because once you kind of lean into the hard, it just energizes you, right? Or hopefully it should. But when we launched, I'll never forget, we were sitting in our living room. By the way, don't ever launch a new thing at 7 a.m. Okay, don't do that. Launch it at like 4 p.m. because we were literally up all night preparing for the product launch. And so we launched it at 7 a.m. I'll never forget, Yolanda was our first customer. It was like $23.49 or something. And the email came in, right? It was like, ding. And it was like, ding, 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 ding. And it was like insane. It was like, there was no moment in Lady Boss history that's ever been better than that one. I'll tell you that much. First $1 million month, whatever. But like, when you know, ink number four, like, no. The first customer of, like, we can't pay our rent. And like, we had this idea, we worked 90 days on it, day and night. We're like filming in the gym at like 3 a.m. My brother's like working there and opened the gym up for us so we could film videos with like this like crazy setup with my iPhone. Like, I literally had my iPhone on this like ghetto stand, like filming some of that content's still in there. It looks good. It's just like, that's the grit that it takes, right? And it takes that commitment, and it takes that, like, you know, and that's what, it's funny. A lot of people don't talk about that, right? It's like, or you just see the success, you see the awards, you see the accolades, but you don't realize how much sacrifice went in, and the whole way was hard. So that's kind of I would say that's probably the things that stick out to my mind the most in the launch was that commitment, that grind, that after hours, that, you know, that's what it takes. So, like, it sucks, but that's what it takes. I think that's, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah. No. And that's something fascinating. So do you think that people are born as entrepreneurs, or do you think that some people are just, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but like, do you feel like maybe some people are better off just working a job, knowing what you've had to go through to get to where you are, knowing what it takes to build a successful business? Like, I'm curious. It's kind of like leadership, right? Or some people are like that with sales. Like, you're born salesman, you're born leader, you're born entrepreneur. Like, do you think that a lot of what you have accomplished maybe has been, you were kind of born that way, not to take away from your work ethic, but almost like the mindset that it takes, or do you feel like you can actually develop yourself into that?
Yeah, this is such a different, this is such a deep question. Cause you can go the personality route. You can go the like environmental raising tendencies. Like you can go a couple directions here. I would say, I think my core belief is number one, if we were all born entrepreneurs, none of us would be successful because we wouldn't have any employees. You know, and I think, if you look at DISC, which is a great surveying tool, dominant personality, D, I, influence and talkative, S,
what are
steady,
you?
Steadfast, C, you know, detail oriented, 80% of the population is an S, right? And that's the, like, we need guys like me and you that are crazy and drive businesses and take all these risks and are always busy and working. Like we need S personalities to keep like all the stuff that we've left in our path behind us in line and operating well. And so like, that's why I think God made 80% of people S's, because none of this would work if we were all us. We would all just be like, it'd be dead bodies everywhere. Like we'd all be like, you know, punching each other in the face and screaming at each other because we're all like too type A and alpha and D. I'm a DI, by the way.
Yes, what I am too.
So most executives are DCs. And I find most entrepreneurs are DIs or IDs. That's been my experience. It's sometimes they're DC entrepreneurs. Those are like the ones that are like Mark Zuckerberg. I guarantee that guy's a DC. So, you know, I think that you certainly, your environment probably plays a role. There's no doubt, right? Like why is Cristiano Ronaldo and Tom Brady, like they probably grew up in it, right? Like they're around it, right? I think that plays a role. But I also think that, I think that people need to, number one, have a respect in the entrepreneurial environment for all of the other people it takes to make things happen. I think there's an absolute like, oh, if you're not the number one, if you're not the business owner, if you're not the, you know, the guy, then like somehow you're less than. And I think that's ridiculous. I can't stand that because it takes so many incredible people to build a great organization. And, you know, I have over 120 employees and some of my employees have had businesses before, right? But they are incredible people and they latch on and like, maybe they just, you know, there's a lot being number one, right? So being number two or number three is fine. It's needed, right? So I think you have a tendency in your environment. I think your personality has a lot to do with it. Your risk tolerance has a lot to do with it. And then what kind of lifestyle you want too, right? Because there's a lot of extremely successful executives that just grew up being executives in companies, but never owned them, right? They own pieces, but they're not the number one. And they could easily go start their own business and they have the skills and the work ethic. So I kind of don't buy into any of them. I think everyone's unique, you know, like it sounds kind of like rah-rah or whatever, but like every company is a snowflake, every entrepreneur and every human is, you know, is unique, which is just a testament to the creator. You know, we're all literally unique. All of our faces look different. All of our personalities are different. And so thank God we're not all entrepreneurs because we kill each other.
Well, and that was like one of the things I was thinking, right? Because me and my wife will joke about this stuff sometimes and be like, you know, there'll come a day where we look back and we laugh about this, because I feel like some of the stuff we're doing now, it's just stuff that other people wouldn't want to do. And that's fine, right? Like they just wouldn't want to be kind of taking on some of the things that we're having to do in our business, just as the same way I know it was for you and Kaylin going through that. Like I know people who are just stoked about life. They wake up, they go to work, they get their 8 hours, they get their paycheck. There's no added stress. They're stoked with their life. And so I honestly feel like entrepreneurs are somewhat born because of, I think one thing that you said that I really agree with is a risk tolerance, right? Because I've always kind of had the risk person. Like, I mean, if we're going to play blackjack, man, like I just want to play and like try to win real fast and like make a bunch of money and leave. But then I look at that, like maybe that's the same thing that fuels you in business a little bit. I mean, you probably can't do that quite so much in business, but yeah, I think having a certain personality type. Now, having said that, do you and Kaylin have different personalities to offset that? Because I'm very, very high I and D, and my wife is so much more like process, Like, it reminds me sometimes of like working with Russell. Like Russell would do all this crazy stuff, and then Brent would be like trying to pick up the pieces behind him sometimes, you know? And I almost see that like with me and my wife. Are you and Kaylin that way? Do you offset each other? Do you have similar, and you've hired around that, or how does that work?
All of them. Everything you said, like number one, we understand what each other are. She's she's very high, like 99 I, and then she's D as well. So, you know, I can't, she doesn't like when I tell her what to do, right? Which is difficult if I'm like running the ship. So I have to like incentivize and craft it in a way, right? She absolutely gets a ton of stuff done, but yeah, she has to buy in. Like she has to buy in. She has to be excited about it, right? And so I've learned how to navigate that, right? I think another thing, and just for spouses and business partners in general, is like if there's not a document where you've actually laid out the responsibilities on either side of the fence, you will always have contention. You will always have issues in your business relationship. This goes for any business partnership, especially it's amplified and multiplied when you have a spouse. You need to know what each other are responsible for. And then you need to trust them once you've agreed on who's doing what, right? Like you own these things, I own these things. We agree, we understand, we like the way this is laid out. And then we're going to trust each other to take care of our side of the fence. And if we don't, let's check each other. But, you know, do it in a respectful way. And I think I've so many entrepreneurs and people that I've coached or mentored or whatever and asked me stuff. And I'm like, this is a basic thing that most people do not do, right? It's like they don't lay out the responsibilities on both sides. And even like in your house, like you talk about your wife, like there's probably things that you do in the house. And for you have kids?
Oh, yeah, four.
Okay. You got four. That's awesome. So like, with your kids, like how you engage and take care of your kids and engage and take care of your house. Like there's things you do, there's things she does, you know, and like, it's like, you know, it's amazing how many fights and issues happen over just that. Like if you just like got that clear and then just like took care of your crap, it was like, it would work, you know? And so I'm just a big believer in just like clarity, right? I think expectations, you know, one of the biggest things with having employees and just people in general is like, if there's not an understood expectation, like it's a disaster. Like if you ever hired an employee and you found yourself selling the job to them, yep. and then the expectation is set that you set the frame when you do that. You set the frame that it's going to be amazing. It's going to be this and that and the other. And you didn't set a realistic expectation. Like, no, these things are going to be hard. And so when they come in, they're disgruntled, they're unhappy. Right. And so I think expectations up front is just such a simple thing that people just, they just don't think about, right. You just do the work on the front end. So you don't have to do it on the back end, but you're going to do it either way.
So what was like the biggest thing? So obviously you and Kaylin had been together and then you start this business. Was there ever anything to where you felt like you learned something about her, not from the person, but from the business person? Like, was there ever a moment like, damn, honey, I've never seen that part of you come out before. Or I mean, and that could be like something great where she was just like way more driven than what you thought. Or like, was there something that you learned about her? And I don't necessarily mean that, but I've noticed that with my wife in certain things as we've been building our business, right? It's like, dang, that's freaking awesome that she's that way. Or, you know, maybe she surprised me in that way. Was there ever a moment like that with you and Kaylin as you started building this business?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I realized really early on, when we started building Lady Boss, like how skilled and how skilled and creative she was. Like I think her greatest abilities, she's so creative and so like, she just gets people and she gets like design, she gets marketing, like in a creative sense of just applying it, but she can apply it. It's incredible. It's like the way that she communicates and sells and the way that she creates messages, the way that she creates. And yeah, blown away. I was like, you know, we need to go take a break together real quick. You know, you see that it's hot, man. I love that. And it fires me up, but no, totally blown away. Right. Like you commit to someone, you get married, you know, you don't know, you know, everything up to that point and to see them sprout and bloom with you is such an incredible experience. You know, I think family should do business together. I think they should set expectations. I have several family members that work for me, and it's awesome to watch them sprout and bloom. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, don't do business with family. It's terrible. Some people only do business with family. I don't subscribe to either. I would say do business with family, because it's incredible to have that. Just set expectations, and then you won't have all the issues that come with it. Right. And put on your boss hat, take it off and say, hey, I'm going to put on my family hat. You know what I mean? Help people understand what frame they're in. But yeah, totally, man. It's fun to work with your spouse. It's a lot of fun to do that.
How do you make the transition?
It can be tough. Yeah. It can be tough.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, how do you make the transition? Is there a transition from, hey, we're at the office, we're partners in this multi-million dollar business, and now we're at home and we've got screaming kids and butts that need to be changed, and we're partners in this now. Like, is there a different dynamic for you guys? Is it different here versus there? Or like, how do you rationalize or maybe differentiate the two relationships, or do you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I literally this morning got into my office, and then once my oldest, she's almost three, she comes in, she knocks on my office door, and I open it, and she's holding a poopy diaper in her hand. And then I'm like on a board meeting, you know, like immediately after. That's real life right there, man. But
or you're like, Kaylin, come here real quick.
No. Yeah, I'm like, I got meetings, you know. I'm yelling at her. You know, I used to work in an office, and then we started working from home, and it was like, I really like jumping out of my office in between stuff and seeing my kids. Like, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's tough because they're like banging on the door and they're like, Daddy, you know, and you feel like you get guilty dad syndrome. But like, look, like, you know, you got to take care of. But to answer your question about, you know, I think what you're asking is like, how do you manage the different aspects altogether, right? Like with the relationship, with business, with family. And I think what it kind of boils down to for me is a couple things. I think it's ridiculous that you're going to like not talk about work off hours. I think that's the stupidest thing ever. I think you should just talk about whatever you guys feel like you want to talk about. You know what I mean? And if you like set this rule that like, oh, we can't talk about this, it's like, we're just going to end that conversation and just like stifle communication. I think that's dumb. I've tried that. Didn't work. I think it's ridiculous. I also think that to think that, you ever sat down, you're like, all right, we're at dinner. Like, what do you want to talk about? It's like, yeah. I don't know. What do you want to talk about? It's like, it's like, you can't expect like you around each other all the time. Right. For those of you guys that are married, you know how it is. Like, so you gotta have intention. You gotta ask questions. You gotta engage, you know, and communicate. And so I think, I don't think there's a line, like it's all blurred together. And so I like to, like, people talk balance. I like rhythm. I think it's a rhythm. I think you get in a rhythm. It's like a musical kind of feel of like, hey, like these notes and here's the bass and it's the underlying thing here. And then here's the chorus. And so I think of like the stack of life all together, like a rhythm, and the song will shift over time, but it all works together and sounds good ultimately. Right. And so when something gets out of tune, like you pull it back in. And so I don't think it's perfect, but I think that with anything, I'm a DC in work personality. So I'm very detailed in terms of work. Outside of work, I'm more like sociable, more talkative, but in terms of work, and like, I just believe in like setting yourself up for success. And that's just like doing the work on the front end to kind of clarify how things are going to go and set expectations. Going back to that, I don't know why I keep going back to this. It's just like, this is for somebody right now. And so with the harmony of life and work, and I'm at the office, how do we deal with the kids? Like, we communicate, right? We set expectations for each other. We're like, okay, hey, when I'm in work days, you're helping with this, and I'll come out and I'll jump in with this. And like, we talk about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, when you blend all those aspects of life together, like, you can't be like, okay, we're going to talk about only this at this time. I think that's just unrealistic, right? Like, it all jams together, right? And then hopefully if the song sounds good, it works. If you need to tune it, then you tune it, you know?
Well, I heard, so I had Josh Felber on quite a while back. I think you know Josh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard other people talk about it, but he put it really well, which was like an integrated lifestyle, which is we get so focused on business should be here, family should be here, and we kind of like try to separate everything. And he was just talking about, he's like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want my business to be my family. I want my family to be my business. Like, I want it all integrated together. And I was like, man, that's such an awesome thing. Because even with like me and my wife, we'll be like, okay, let's not talk business. We're going to go on a date night. But then you want to talk business, right? Because it's part of your life. It's like what's going on in your life. So right. Why wouldn't you talk about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yep. So as you've now gotten to the point where you are now, and you guys have really blown this business up, what's like, if someone is maybe struggling right now, or maybe they're in the initial phases of building a business, or maybe they've been somewhat successful, but nothing to where you guys have gotten. Is there any advice or any guidance, anything that you could maybe let them know that would potentially help them get from kind of going through it to maybe hitting that next step? Any wisdom from you? I mean, I know you got a ton of it, but like
which direction do we want to go here? So someone who's struggling in the beginning right now,
like yeah, let's say someone's been going, they're making some money maybe, but they're not multi-million dollar business yet.
Yeah. I don't know. What comes to mind is like, who cares if you're not a multi-million dollar business, if you don't want one? It's a lot, you know, it's a lot to manage people. It's a lot to have inventory. If that's the type of business you have, it's a lot to do that. So I think that, again, going back to lifestyle, like I think it's okay to have a six-figure business that you love and you love to do. But, you know, if you're a crazy psycho like me and you just love to grow and just do new stuff, like you should grow it. So I think, so look, it boils down to this for me. Growing a company is a constant evaluation of where am I at now? What is the next thing I need to do, right, to grow? And then how am I going to do it? Is it me or is it a person I'm going to hire? And then prioritizing your time. So it's like, it's literally like every week for me it's a planning cycle, right? It's an annual, a quarterly, and a monthly and a weekly planning cycle. So it's like, what's the vision? You distill it down to these are the five things we want to accomplish this year that are going to change our business and grow us, right? And then you look at that and you're looking at the quarters and you try to break it into smaller pieces, right? And so like, this is like we do a quarterly and a monthly and a weekly planning session with my executive team. And like, that's just how you grow a business, right? And then ultimately, once you know where you're going and the plan, you just got to execute, man. I mean, I don't know. It's like, do the boring crap, like do the research, do the work. Do the crap that makes you uncomfortable. Like guaranteed right now, whoever's stuck, like the thing that you probably already know what you need to do, but you're just like avoiding it. You're like tiptoeing around it. You're like wasting your energy on stuff that doesn't really return. You know, I think that there's so much incredible, like this podcast, this information, this freaking device that has changed everything. Like everything, it's like, there's no lack of knowing what to do. It's just lack of people willing to do what it takes. I think that's what it always boils down to be honest with you. You know, I think it's ridiculous to be like, I don't know what to do next. I'm like, there's already somebody who's done what you want to do. Just like go Google them. I promise they're probably talking about it on a podcast and then you can go find it. That's not probably your problem. Your problem is that you either aren't prioritizing correctly or you're just avoiding the thing that you really need to do. And so in that constant process of planning, evaluating, setting the goal, moving towards it, you know, you have to constantly be putting yourself. And I've realized this is that in order to get to the next level, you're always going to have to be in this uncomfortable zone, right? Like you're always going to have to be pushing into. And so I hate theoretical talk sometimes because I'm like, I want to give people like tactics, yeah. But like the thing on your to-do list that's going to make and move. And so one of my favorite phrases, like just simple, I just get it. Like move the needle. Like what's going to move the freaking needle? Like a big move, not like an inch. Like you can do a bunch of things to move the needle inches, but like in the process, you might've just been able to do one thing that just completely yanked it. Right. And so I guarantee that the thing to move the needle is the thing that you're uncomfortable doing, right? Recruiting the next team member, like doing the sales call, like, you know, writing the job description that you need to hire next, right? Like the hard stuff.
Yeah. What do you do? Because I know something that changed for me, and everyone on here is probably sick of me talking about it because I reference it, but
I felt like I wasn't maybe doing the hard stuff enough. And so I was like, I'm going to do 75 hard. I'm going to force myself to learn habits. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but it literally was life-changing for me just because of the habits that it forms you to create and getting so like comfortable with being uncomfortable, I felt like.
Yeah.
Is it workouts that you do? Is it sauna? Is it reading? Like, what do you specifically do to stay maybe out of your comfort zone to where that way when you get outside of your comfort zone in business or stuff like that, you're more used to it? Is it workouts, stuff like that? Or what do you do?
So I want to draw the attention to that program because I understand it. I haven't done it personally. I live a pretty similar lifestyle. I don't work out twice a day. I work out once a day, but from what I understand, it's a mindset program, not a fitness program. Absolutely. Right. And it's what is it? It's a plan that has clear steps and you have a win or fail. It's set out in front of you. You know, the end, you know, if you're going to succeed or not. And so really it was just someone took the time to just plan this path for you. And then you just walk it. Right. And so what I started with is like, if you're stuck, what do? It's like, you need to sit down and be clear about what your goal is and then break down the steps to get there. That's all 75 hard is. Yep. It's a cool name, great company, great guys. It's a plan and you subscribe, you do it. And like that's it. You know, it's just like, it's just ridiculous. Like we wake up and we're like, all right, what am I going to do today? And like, we think we're going to build something, you know, that's going to be big and complex and great, but like it takes intention on the front end, you know, and don't get stuck planning all year. I'm just like, you know, I spend an hour to plan my week. Basically, I spend a couple hours to plan my month. And then I spend a day to plan the quarter. So it's like, that's, you know, that's what it is, you know,
having the plan. So do you do anything like that though, just in terms of like getting yourself out of your comfort zone? Like, do you do like challenges or anything like that to help it? Is it more just more the steady flow, the steady schedule of daily workouts, daily routine, stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely when stuff starts to get stale or I'm like bored, that's when I'll mix it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you talked about a bunch of different areas, but like right now, like I have a home gym, I work out, I'm in great shape. Like I feel good. But I feel like my workouts are getting kind of stale. So like when I move, I'm going to start going to a gym again. You know, I miss all the equipment and options and like the energy. So it's like, you know, I kind of recognize that, but I've also like, I don't know. I feel like I should have a ton of gray hairs after like the last 10 years of business, and it's kind of weathered me in some ways. And you know, have a lot of success. You got a lot of issues. You got a lot of money. Now you got to figure out what to do with it. You've got a lot of people, you know, ups, downs, like I've cycled in business, completely failed, started over, right? Like once you've like been through all that, you kind of realize like if you're in a season of growth and you're hungry and like you're chasing after a certain area, just go crazy with it. But I'm also like smart enough to realize like when I'm content, doesn't mean I have to be satisfied, right? When I'm content with where I am, like, hey, like I'm good with my work routine. Like it's working, I'm growing. Like I don't need to go and like throw in this new thing, right? I think a lot of people are trying to do too many things at once. Like go get one new thing and then stick to it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a huge issue.
Has having kids changed that? I mean, did you maybe, you know, did you say, okay, like we're good. Like we're doing good financially. Did it make you slow down? Because I see people do it both, right? Some people like got to speed up because I've got kids. I got people, you know, I got to provide for. Other people like, man, I've got kids and I want to be there when they take their first steps. I maybe have to take a step back. Like, how did it change it for you?
Oh, I love these questions because it digs to the core of like, why are you doing what you're doing? And like, what really matters?
Yeah.
You know, and like God answers that question for me all day long. The Bible does for me. And so it's like, I get this connection that downloads that for me. Right. And so I don't think there is a great answer. Like I'm not even going to sit here and be like, yeah, I know you should speed up or slow down with kids. Like someone else could get on and probably say, this is what you need to do. But I'm just like, what are you called to do? What are you compelled to do? Like, you know, and so, you know, if you don't have that, like, I feel sorry for you. You don't have that, but ultimately dude, you can look at anything and see it either way. You know what I mean? That's what I think going back to just a thought that I wanted to just expand a little bit, information is so easily available. People are run in too many directions at once. Like just chill, like pick one thing and like drive towards it. You know, I think focus is absolutely like in short supply, right? I think there's just like, it's like, we're so like deer in the headlights of so much sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's hard to focus. But no, having kids has totally changed everything. Like it's incredible. I love having, like, it's taught me so much. I made a post a couple weeks ago that it's totally exposed all my flaws. like my impatience, right? Like it's exposed that. It's taught me so much, like gentleness. You know, I'm like an aggressive human being. Like you ever see like the TikToks where it's like, if you did everything aggressive and the guy's like,
yeah,
opening the door and like pressing his remote. Like that's me literally. Like I'm just an aggressive person. And so I have to be gentle with my girls, you know, like if they're just acting crazy and it frustrates me, I have to slow down, you know? And so it's taught me so much. And absolutely, like life had to, the rhythm of the song had to flow and adapt to that. That was a whole new dude entered the band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to speak.
Well, it's funny because I relate to that so much. And then here I am having four kids, three of the four being girls. And I'm like, God knew what he was doing. Either number one, paying me back for my younger years, or number two, like knowing that I probably need to like be a little more gentle and maybe just chill out a little bit. So I totally feel that. Now, last thing I kind of want to touch on, because it's something that you haven't shied away from, which to me is so refreshing in business. I see so many people that have big businesses that don't want to do anything that might offend somebody or anything like that. But you've continued to post about your faith. You've continued to post about, I guess, what we would call traditional values. Does that ever make you nervous? Does it ever worry you? Because I think so many people are so scared to do it now, but you're not. Like, why is that?
Because there's no way that I'm going to change who I am to get people to pay me. Because I don't serve money. I just don't. I like to use it. I like to go take my kids to Disney World. I like to have a nice house and an iPhone and a cool car. I just dropped my phone. But I don't serve money. And so if you serve money, and that owns you, like, period, right? Like, so if you're going to change who you are to earn more money, and that's essentially what we're talking about. Like, that's really the root of the question is, are you going to say things that are you that might offend people that will lose you business and lose you money? Ultimately, that's what we're saying. And so I'm not willing to sacrifice that. It's less important to me. You know what I mean? And so have I ever been faced like, believe what you believe or lose your whole thing? Like, no, I haven't. What would I choose? Well, hopefully my example so far is I would choose, you know, to stay true to who I am and my values. Right. But I think, I'm just not going to change for money. Yeah. I think that's what it boils down to. Right. And like, you don't put a light underneath a box, right? You don't put it under a lamp. You shine it. It's like, you know, if you truly believe in what you're selling, like you wouldn't change, right? Otherwise you don't really believe it.
Do you think that's a matter of being strong in your faith or just being strong in your convictions? Like, do you feel like you feel that way because of faith and maybe through prayer and things like that? Or is it just more of a personality to where I'll say what I want? I don't really care.
I definitely aligned with number two in terms of like, I want to just say what I want, cause that's the kind of person I am. I'm a rebel for sure. But no, I mean, it's a spiritual conviction. It's a biblical conviction. Like, you know, if we're talking about a belief system here, like it's a Bible belief system. Christian is the word. It's a watered down word that I don't like these days, but it's a conviction that's given and written that I align with, right? It's like, so certainly the rebel feels good though. Yeah. Like I like to be different. I like to be the like tattooed young entrepreneur, old wise man, doesn't really party, has kids. Like I'm like the antithesis of like
the anomaly, you know, like, right? A little bit.
The anomaly. There you go. That's the word.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yep. Well, I know we're getting to the end of our time, so I want to start wrapping it up. One of the things that I always try to touch on the podcast, and you've talked about, you know, kind of some of the mindset shifts that you went through, even from being a young entrepreneur to where you are now, some of the lifestyle components that you've built into your business and mapping that out. And I think that's so important. I think that so many people don't ever like real quick, just a side tangent. I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be in the NFL. And then once I realized I wasn't going to be in the NFL, I thought I was going to coach the NFL. And then I started looking like those dudes work like 120 hours a week. And they're always gone. None of them stay married. So it's like, if you want like a wife and kids and family, you probably don't actually want to be an NFL head coach, right? So like, I remember thinking like, maybe I don't want to do that because of the lifestyle. And so the fact that you actually at such a young age consciously thought that is insane, but it's also awesome. And you're to be commended for that for sure. The last component though, that I always like to cover is legacy and obviously doing something bigger than ourselves. When we moved back to the ranch, you know, it's a fifth generation ranch. Like one of the reasons we did that is because I felt like this mission to move back here was bigger than me. And it got me thinking a lot about legacy and what I want to leave behind having kids now. I guess for you, like, what is it maybe years from now, maybe even after you're gone, like, what do you want the legacy of Brandon Poulin to be?
Oh man, that's a great question. I kind of think about like what people would say. And so I would want people to say that that Brandon loved God and never compromised, that he always did what he said he was going to do, and that he cared. So it's like, that's what I want my kids to have, right? I want them to have a good example, like money, legacy, great, you know, accomplishments, cool. Like nobody actually really cares. And they're all just going to go to dirt anyways. And no one will ever remember in 100 years, no one will remember this conversation. No one will probably remember Lady Boss or your company, no offense, but like yeah. At the end of the day. So I think that's what I want to leave is that like they feel loved and they knew I didn't compromise on my beliefs. And they, you know, I've always like wanted to be someone who does what they say they're going to do. Cause I just think that's so rare. Like everyone just, this is just like, this is the world. It's just a lot of this and there's no congruency to this and the walk, you know, there's zero congruency between what people say and what they do these days. It's our politicians, our political leadership, the pulpits in America, same way. I mean, it's a disaster. It's like just a lack of congruency and doing what you say you're going to do. And people are just, they're just chasing all the things that will never give them any satisfaction. And they sacrifice everything to get it. And it's money. And so it's just so interesting. So I love talking about money, you know, success and wealth, but then understanding that it's just a vehicle for everything else. Right. So hopefully that when I'm gone, that can remain.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So for people that want to support you, want to find you, where's the best place? I know you're not super active, at least on Facebook, but when you are, it's always awesome stuff. Like where can people find you? Website, socials, where's the best place?
Yeah. So Facebook or Instagram is where I post on. So Brandon Poulin, Poulin. And then ladyboss.com. If you're a guy, you want to help your wife out, be careful how you do that.
Yeah. Christmas is coming up. So honey, I got you access to Lady Boss.
I got you some delicious workout protein or some weight loss stuff. Yeah. That'd go over well, right? Don't do that, guys. Don't do that.
There's gotta be a subtle way to do it. I'm sure there is.
But. My wife actually wanted a treadmill for Christmas one year. And I was like, I feel like an idiot. Like, are you sure? Like, this is like a big giant no-no. Like, what do you mean? But
going to the workout store or whatever, the exercise equipment, and be like, yeah. Hey, I'm here to buy my wife a treadmill. And the guy's going to look at me like, are you sure?
Yeah. Like, dude, don't do that. But like actual, she does want it. And I'm like, I'm grateful for that. I was like, yes.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, yeah. Make sure guys go and follow Brandon. Make sure go to ladyboss.com, especially for all you women out there. You got to go there, guys, go there as well. You can absolutely help out your significant other, your wives, whatever. Tons of good stuff, everything from programs to supplements to mindset type stuff, following along with Kaylin as well. So make sure, again, go to ladyboss.com, check it all out. Again, Brandon, this is awesome. I appreciate you coming on, man. I appreciate it. All the wisdom and just sharing a little bit of what you've gone through. I do appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again sometime, maybe.
Yeah, Derek, it was fun, man. It was a blast. Thanks for having me.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.